Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Praise the Lord. Some people go to church and they look like they've been eating persimmons or something or another, man. Praise God. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm thankful. Praise God. I've been looking forward to being in the house of the Lord all week. Thank the Lord. And looking forward to just worshiping the Lord and being with Him. Thank God. What a blessing it is. And God has given us a privilege and an honor each time. And I'm grateful for all that He does. Amen. All right. Turn your Bible, if you will, to Psalm 103. And put your finger there and go to Psalm 34. We'll read a couple of verses, and then we'll get right on into the message. And while you're finding your place in Psalm 103 and Psalm 34, I want to preach a little while on this subject: Bible prohibitions and provisions. For a long, long time, many years ago, and probably still today, many of you, if you've been out witnessing, reading your Bible, and praying for people, you come across a lot of people who say the Bible is just full of a bunch of shall nots and do's and don'ts, and it just puts a damper on my life, and I can't enjoy myself, and I don't really care about going with the Lord or being in church or being involved with none of that. I'd just rather stay over here and do my own thing. And then you watch these folks as they go by after some time, and they get in one terrible shape. They have all kinds of problems. And then they wonder why that they have these problems. Meanwhile, those of us, like you and I, that have been truly born again, saved by the marvelous grace of God, I've never, Brother Steve, been freer in my entire life than I have since I became 24 years old in 1977, and God was merciful enough to me to save my poor wretched soul and deliver me according to His precious word. I've never been freer. I've never been happier in my entire life. Amen. I'm so happy I can't stand myself. Amen. I get so happy sometimes other people can't stand me. I went and got a hair. I go to a little local shop to get my hair cut, and the lady there is a Christian lady. And the name of the barber, or the name of the shop, is Cutting Corners Salon in Randleman. And I told her a long time, when they've been in business for a while before I went in there, and I said, you know what? I didn't come in here for a long time because I thought this was Cutting Corners Saloon. So I didn't want nothing to do with no saloon, so I just didn't come in here. Then I realized, hey, you're cutting hair up in here. And man, they've done a good job. Well, every time I got my hair cut, I said, man, I'm so pretty now, I can't hardly stand myself. And I made a big mistake and told a friend of mine of that. He said, yeah, can't nobody else stand you neither. But I want to preach to you a little while on this subject of Bible prohibitions and provisions. There's a whole lot of shall nots, thou shalt not, in the Bible. Probably if you've read your Bible any length of time, and I hope and pray that you do and continue doing, you'll find there's a whole lot of shalt, thou shalt nots in the Bible. And I want to show you a little bit this morning, by the help of the Lord, the time we have, on how the shalt not provisions far outnumber thou shalt not do's. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning again for this honor to be in your house with your people. What a great blessing it is already. We felt your presence. Thank you for each song, the one that sang, the ones that sang. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done so far for us. And Lord, I pray now, Lord, as we look into your word, that our attention will be centered solely upon you. And Lord, may we all hear from heaven this morning, from your precious word. and all be encouraged this morning. And should there be any among us here this morning, unsaved or out of your will, Lord, I pray this will be the hour that they'll make things right with you and come to know the joy and the peace it is that only you can give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. First of all, someone asked me one time, we were talking about the law, and I know some of you here have been in law enforcement, and I do honor our police officers and everyone that's in law enforcement. But I said, you know what? God gave us a law, and thank God we have a country. We're privileged to live in a country that we have laws and rules, and they're all made supposedly for all the good. So if I was going to give you good news and bad news, most of you here would rather hear the bad news first, right? You go to the doctor and they say, well, I've got some good news for you and I've got some bad news. Which one do you want to hear first? Well, most of us say, well, just give me the bad news first, okay? So I'm going to give you the bad news. Turn with me now. Psalm 103 will begin. And look with me in Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Yes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. Then look with me to Psalm 34 and verse number 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Shout not. Ain't that something? He said, if you seek me, son, he said, I'm going to see to it, you won't want no good thing. He said, I'm going to give you everything that's good. Now, look with me over to Exodus chapter number 20. And I told someone, I said, I really don't need the police so much and all that because I have a law that God gave me. And he gave to all of us. And if you think about this, and I want you to think about this as we read this, because each and every one of these commandments are not just a bunch of thou shalt not do. But I want you to look at it in this light. It's all for your good and your benefit. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 20, look with me at verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I don't know where you were, but I was in bondage. I was in bondage to my sin. I was in bondage to my self-will. I was in total bondage by Satan, and he was ruling my life. And he's a hard taskmaster. He robbed me. He stole. He killed everything good in my life. He took it all away from me. When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, though, Jesus brought me out of that house, and he put me in the house of God, in a place of great blessing, in a place of all that's good, and he's given back more than I could ever even dream of. Jesus did that for me, but not just for me. Oh, no. Each of you here this morning that's saved by the grace of God did that for you. Look at verse number 2. He said again, I am the Lord thy God which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt, now we're going to go into the thou shalt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why should you want one? Why would you want one? I had one. His name was Satan. And look what he done for me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Showing mercy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath, and the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. You cannot run a machine 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and expect it to continually operate. Eventually, it's going to break down. Am I right? Am I wrong? You that farm, you that do different things and operate machinery, you that run factories or work in factories, work in textiles, no matter what you do, if you have a machine, you're going to have it stayed. You have to stop it sometime and do some maintenance on it. Put a little oil in it, grease it, whatever you have to do, right? Amen? If you don't, it's going all to pieces. So God told us, said, I'm going to give you 6 days to work, but I want you to rest on the seventh day. Is that a law? No, actually that's a principle. For who? You and me, our own good. You keep on going, and eventually you will wind up in the hospital. You're going to be half dead with something. You cannot continually go 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and expect nothing to happen to you. You're going to have to rest somewhere, somehow. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, we work all of our lives to can and have and can and have. Then we spend the rest of our lives trying to spend everything we've got to regain our health, because we done ruined it by canning and canning, having, working, canning, having, all kind of stuff. And then we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. So God gave us a commandment. Don't do that, son. Work 6 days a week, rest on the seventh day. How hard is that? He goes on to tell us. He says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, verse 10. And that thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is them in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What's wrong with honoring your mother and father? Tell me, what's wrong with that? Nothing, right? If you honor your mother and your father, and you have good parents, which I hope and pray you do, but if you honor them and you do what the Bible says to do, you're going to have peace, you're going to have some joy in the house, amen? All it takes is one messed up child out of 5 or 10 or 2 or 3 and foul up everybody, hurts everybody. Same way with the parents, though. If you got parents that are messed up, that messes up everybody. There's commandments also in the scripture to the parents as well as to the children. But also he goes on to say, he said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now then, tell me, in all that I just read, what is not for your good? Name one. But that's thou shalt not. Don't do that, right? All right, now, let's look at the happy part. We done looked at the law. We done looked at the bad part. Let's go over here now, and let's look at a couple of that. These are the prohibitions. Don't do these things. Don't do these things not because I hate you, not because I want your life to be miserable. No, just the opposite. Don't do these things because I want your life to be good. I want to give you everything that's good. If everybody in the world, every country on the face of the earth, were to just simply abide by that alone, look how much of a difference it would make for the welfare of everybody. All right, that's the prohibitions. Let's look at some of the provisions. Go with me now over to John chapter 5. John chapter number 5. And I want you to look with me in John chapter 5 and verse number 24. The Bible said, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Now listen, here's another "shalt not." "And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Shalt not. I don't know about the Bible. It's got too many "shalt nots." Can't live that way. Can't go that way. Don't want to go to church. Don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. Too many "shalt nots." Puts too much of a damper on my life. I can't take it. I'm too young. I got too many things ahead of me. I got too many things to enjoy. Oh, really? Give me one. "Thou shalt not come under condemnation." He said, "I'll have everlasting life." That's what he told me. When someone asks you sometime, and probably no doubt have, "What's your hope?" "Well, Jesus told me." "How do you know it's true?" "Because I was there." "How do you know you're saved?" I was there. "How do you know you was born?" "I was in the hospital." "I was there." I don't remember too much about that, but I was there. "And I came out, here I am. So I must have been there or I wouldn't be here," right? So, he said, "Thou shalt not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, if I had a choice between dying and living for it, I mean dying and just that's it, or living forever in the presence of the Lord and in the joys of heaven with no more problems, no more devil, no more pain, no more sickness, no more going to the cemetery, no more evil, no more lying, cheating, stealing, and all these other things and all the commandments mentioned not to do. If I had an opportunity to go there or stay here, where do you think I'm going to go? It's like some of you got the choice between Belk's and Walmart. I know that's a sorry example. But really, if you got something over here at Belk's that costs $25, you get the same thing, same quality at Walmart for $10. You're going to Walmart. Don't lie to me, yay. Because you will. You'll go where it's the best, right? Well, thank God you're where it's the best. Amen. If only every sinner in the face of the earth would wake up and have their eyes open and let Jesus take control of their life, they would understand exactly what I'm talking about this morning and what you have been witnessing for years. Number two, look with me at John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8, we're looking at the provisions. We've got eternal life. We're never coming into condemnation if we follow him. Look at John chapter 8 and look with me at verse number 12. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of of the world. He that followeth me, shall not
Amen.
Walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Brother Keith brought a great, great Sunday school lesson this morning. And he brought out in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he gave it in contrast to the looking at the news, watching the news. And everything he said is exactly what the Bible said a long time, way before the news people ever even was born. But you and I that are born again, that are saved by the grace of God, who are rooted and grounded in this King James Bible, understand very clearly what's going to happen in the future, what's already happened in the past, and what's happening now in the present. We understand that. Why? Because the one who created it all wrote this book, gave it to us, and the Holy Ghost of God to give us the explanation of it. Just give you a little FYI. A news reporter by the name of Bernard Goldberg was in CBS, I believe it was, or NBC, ABC, I believe it was, for like 30-some years. He wrote a book called Bias. I would encourage you to read it sometime. In the book, he describes how the news media works. And their god is ratings. That's their god. Anything that'll capture people's attention to get them to watch the thing, they'll lie, do anything to put propaganda, anything out there to get your attention. Satan does a lot of that, you know. He's good at getting our attention. Are you with me? None of us are exempt from that either, by the way. We all get our attention drawn away from time to time. But anyway, he described in the book how that the news media will take one incident over here that's remote somewhere, and they'll blow that thing up to make it look like everybody in the whole world is going to die tomorrow. That's the way they operate. They take things out of context. They take all kinds of things and promote propaganda. And then people believe all this stuff, and then they get all stirred up and all upset. And they don't even know why. I was in a conversation some time back with a lady, and she was up here over one of the people in the government, one of the people in the White House. I listened for about 25 minutes. When she finally slowed down and her blood pressure came down about that far, I asked a simple question. I said, what has this person done? What have they done? She got quiet. I don't know. I said, you don't know. Now there she was ranting and raving for 25 minutes over something she didn't even know anything about. Didn't even know the person. I've not been to the border. I don't know what goes on at the border. I've not been in Washington. I've not been to the White House. I don't know what goes on in the White House. I know what little bit I learned from little bits and pieces of factual information, but they're very small, minute, as opposed to the lies and the propaganda that goes around. So I just dismiss it. I don't pay no attention. But this book, I pay real close attention. Because God Almighty has got this thing in control. He's got this country in his hand. He's got this world in his hand. And he knows exactly what to do with it. He created it. He knows what to do with it. So I'll choose to pay attention to him. And in so doing, guess what I found? I have great peace. I have great joy, don't you? I'm not concerned. I mean, it concerns me, of course, but I'm not worried to death about it. I'm not going crazy about it. What's going on in the world. I hate what's going on in the world. I hate the evil. I hate the sin. I hate all this stuff. I despise it. but it's not taking me under because Jesus has got me in his hand. And he's got you in his hand. So, he said in verse number 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall not die in your sins, for if you believe that I am he, ye shall, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. All right? Look with me at Psalm number 38. We'll hurry on. Psalm number 38 goes just a few more, and we'll close it out. Psalm chapter number 38, look with me at verse number 23. Psalm number 38. Psalm number 38 and verse number 23. The Bible said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, now here we go, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We may fall, we may fail, and we often do, but thank God we don't have to lay there. We're not going to stay there. We may make mistakes, and we often do, but we can get past them and move on. Why? Because the Lord, thank God, is upholding us in his hand. He's the final word on your life. He's the final word on my life. So then, I got to shout not. Even though I may fall, I shall not be utterly cast down because Jesus is holding me in the palm of his hand. Next of all, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 16. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. I'm sorry, I apologize for that. I quoted the wrong one. I have been young, and now I'm old. In verse number 25, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There's a promise for those of us who know the Lord. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. And look with me at verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil would love nothing more than Harmony Baptist Church to be dissolved and taken away and destroyed completely, and he would love nothing more than to destroy your life and mine. But I have a promise, and you have a promise, that that's not going to happen. As long as we're looking to him, as long as Jesus is the center of your life and my life, as long as he's the center of the house of God, nothing will take it down. Nothing. Why? Because he said so. I'm not so interested in somebody's opinion over here, but I really am interested in what he says, because what he says goes. If he told me that I'm going to have everlasting life, I've got everlasting life. If he told me I'm not going to fall, I'm not going to fall. If he told me not to worry, why should I worry? If he told me not to be troubled about this or that or the other, why should I trouble myself with it? Think about it. Next of all, Matthew chapter number 24, and verse number 35, the Bible said again, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, what? Shall not pass away. You can, the devil can blow, he can puff, he can get schools, he can get colleges, he can get anything, he can get buildings built, he can get anything he wants to do. This book is going to stand. His word is the truth, and it will stand in the face of every lying, hypocrite in the world, it doesn't make any difference where they are, who they are, this word will stand. When the world is on fire, this world, this book will stand. And last of all, and I'll close with this, turn with me back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and I'll close with this. Psalm 103. I want to give you some more of his provisions. Now, this particular passage of Scripture, I just want to give you a little background for a minute. I learned a long time ago to take God at his word, just like many of you have, and I hope all of you do. But if you take God at his word, and you believe it with all of your heart, you'll be amazed at what God will do for you. And many of you know about this. About several years ago, I was laid up in the hospital. It was in a bad way. This particular scripture, along with some other scripture that a dear lady gave me, was a great, great help in that particular time in my life when I was in really bad way. And I'm going to share this with you, and I want you to hold on to it with all you got. Because if you face a hard time, or you face surgery, you face a doctor, you face whatever it might be in your life, God only knows what we're going to have to go through before we get out of this place. But I guarantee you, this will bring you great comfort. It will bring you great joy. It will bring you great hope. Because we don't know, have any idea many times how things are going to turn out. We don't know. But we've served one that knows everything. And when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, he's got this. I'm going to give it to you. I've already read verses 1 and 2. Look with me now at verse number 3. The Bible said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We're dust. Great comfort, great peace, and deliverance Jesus brought to me personally from his word. And he thinks no more of me than he does you. He loves each and every one of us here this morning exactly the same. He cares about what's happening in your life. He cares about what's going on in your heart. He understands every single solitary thought that you may even think that you haven't even thought yet. That's how gracious, that's how great our Lord is to usward. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his shout nots. Shout nots. And there's many more, but time won't allow. I'll stop right there. The 23rd Psalm, you can go read that. Thou shalt not. He's going to bring you in. He's going to take care of you. Sometimes I think about, and I get troubled, as many people do from time to time, over events and things in the world. But then when I pause for just a moment, and I think about the Lord's mercy, and I think about His precious word, and all that He's done and said to me, how far He's brought me now these 41 years, I just sit and weep and rejoice in the peace and the joy that He gives right in the midst of all this mess. God's people, and you could read about Him all the way through the Word of God, how the God's people were taken care of even in the midst of terrible, adverse situations. It's good to have my dear friends, Sister Renee and Brother Garland Williams, with us this morning. I appreciate them. Brother Garland is a Marine Vietnam veteran, wounded 2 times in that horrible, horrible war. He's a man of God. He loves the Lord Jesus. Tremendous testimony. Told me how that he was on a hill and prayed to God. Wasn't even saved at the time, but prayed to God, if He please, let him get off that hill and get back. He served Him, and here he sits. God Almighty, He loves you, and He's faithful to His word. His word exalted above His own name, and there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Let's all stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Musicians, if you would please come and get a song of invitation.